We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that fine gentleman over there. After 5 long hours, it felt like it was shorter than 5 hours, of streaming. The one, the only, still the incomparable, back in Chicago, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Good. Great to be back in the Midwest. Other than the obvious reasons, it's not great to be back in the Midwest because it's a degree. It might be less than a degree, but the college football world is hot, hot, hot. I'm good, Ty. It's been a long night, but a great night. And so no complaints, a lot of thoughts, a lot of enjoyment. Excited to put this bow. I mean, there's more to talk about with the season itself, but the general bow on the 2021-2022-ish season.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. The Georgia Bulldogs have won their first national championship since 1980 by virtue of their 33-18 victory this evening over the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're going to go through that game in as much detail as we can. We did a 4-hour live stream on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and pretty much every streaming platform that we own. We were out there. We had Roger Sherman from The Ringer. We had Jeff Schwartz from Fox. We had Adam Amin from Fox and from the Bulls. Brought a bunch of folks in to talk about the college football game. As it was transpiring, we watched this thing in real time. We reacted to it in real time. We don't have any notes, unlike a lot of the shows that we do. We don't have notes jotted down on what transpired. I think we're going from memory here. We're going from the box score, but we did watch this thing in real time. We reacted to it as it was happening. And man, what a game. What a game this ended up being. It started very slowly.
Field goal, punt, 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 field goal, punt, field goal, punt, end of half. You're right. That was the first half.
Started very slowly. We weren't sure what we were going to get. We were, to some extent, fearful of another 9-6 game, but it, in the end, ended up being something far more beautiful, Dan. It was a flower that bloomed late.
We're recording this currently at 12:32 p.m. Eastern time, or a.m. Eastern time, so... Yeah, as Ty trails off in his metaphors. Yes, it was a game that appeared to be slow-moving, frustrating at times, watching Georgia on offense sort of attempt things that didn't quite make sense, throwing the ball, and Alabama deal with a pretty brutal key injury to Jameson Williams that ultimately, like, hopefully Jameson Williams is fine either now or eventually, but... really, without John Mechie and Jameson Williams, changed the complexion of what Alabama was able to do or were comfortable doing in a national championship game against a defense of Georgia's caliber. But it looked like, because of the limitations at times of Stetson Bennett and of the available Alabama personnel and two pretty incredible defenses, that we were going to be in for more of a field position-y type national championship game, which was both a good game and also lacking at times in offensive electricity.
I think that's all right, Dan.
Okay.
We're going to cover this from about as many perspectives as possible.
Sure.
At 12:33 a.m. Eastern time now. We would encourage you, if you're out there listening for the first time, please do subscribe to the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Spotify. Really, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find our show. Don't just subscribe or follow, but please also rate and review. That really helps the show. Verballers.com, of course, is where you can find our Patreon. We've got some folks right now watching this show live as we react on Patreon after a long night of streaming and doing things. My voice is about to peter out, but we're going to power through here for at least another 45 minutes or so. And by all means, go on out to our website at solidverbal.com. That's where you can find our website, all the articles that we post, all the things that we've done over the last year. This is really the cherry on top of the college football season. The 2021-22 season was a wild season, Dan. You know, we can do the retrospective in the offseason when time permits, but the path that we followed to get us to this point, from having a group of five team in the college football playoff to just a whole host of things that made this such a wacky season, eventually led us to this place now where we had a rematch of the SEC title game. You may recall that Alabama won that game by a 41-24 final score. Going into this game, you picked Georgia. You were the hopeless romantic that went with the Georgia Bulldogs, thinking, hoping perhaps, that something could be different going into this football game. I was a little bit more skeptical. Even though I picked Georgia to win the national championship before the start of the college football season, I was very skeptical. My question all throughout was, what has changed? What's different? John Mechie got hurt. But beyond that, what's different now than back on December the 4th? I think a bunch of things were different in this game, Dan. This is a much different game in many respects than what we saw the first time around. Jameson Williams going down is, I don't want to make that the centerpiece of this conversation.
Right.
But Jameson Williams going down in the second quarter was a pretty big deal and altered the landscape of Alabama's offense in a pretty drastic way. They suddenly did not have that experience going downfield. They didn't have those obvious game breakers that they could rely on in their offense. And I'm not going to say that lost them the game. I don't believe that lost them the game, because they had trouble moving the football even before he went out. But certainly Jameson Williams going down played a big part of this, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely did. And John Mechie had a big part the way that he went down before, and he went down in that game, in the SEC championship game. But no, he had such an enormous game against Georgia the first go-round, and that he made the play he did when he did get injured points to his importance and inability to stretch the field and keep, you know, defensive back safeties, whatever, honest downfield. That opens things up in the mid-level and the running game, whatever, as we saw against Cincinnati when Brian Robinson was able to sort of run unimpeded, and George is a different animal for sure. But yeah, Jameson Williams going down and Bama being down its top two receivers is enormous. But at the same time, you have a Heisman-winning quarterback.
Yeah.
And when a Heisman-winning quarterback is the guy taking snaps for you, he rises all boats. You know, he is the guy who makes everybody better. He's able to, you know, make plays out of nothing and throw off platform and find Jaleel Billingsley or your guy Cameron Latu or Slade Bolden in the slot. And like, he's able to make plays. And we're still dealing with an Alabama team with an incredible left tackle, an incredible depth at skill position. Like, it's not a team that you feel terrible for. It's just a different team than what we're used to seeing out of Alabama. I just, even healthy, what are you supposed to do against this Georgia defense? They did it once, and you say, what changed? And I might push back and say, I don't know if anything changed necessarily. Georgia just looked more like the Georgia we were used to seeing. And they did the Georgia things, wearing teams down on the ground on offense, you know, using incredible players on all three levels on defense to the best of their ability in very smart ways and letting them make plays, diagnose and close on screens, whatever, that there is an inevitability to Georgia's defense that we saw all season long. And maybe it's not that it changed between the SEC championship and today. Maybe it's just that it changed for the SEC championship and they were just back to being Georgia tonight as we record this a few minutes after the game ended.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So one of the things I want to dive into a little bit here is, you know, we did the live stream, a 4-hour live stream. If you are ever so inclined, you can go back on YouTube and find that.
To watch us watch the game in real time of us just saying like, whoa, wow, huh, whoa. Yeah.
Heaven help you if you decide to go back and watch that. But, you know, this is a pretty tight game most of the way. It was 9-6 at halftime in favor of Alabama. Georgia grabbed the lead in the third quarter. They made it 13-9. And suddenly we're talking through, we're gaming out different scenarios by which this thing can get to overtime, by which this thing can hit the over. Georgia rides a 20-point fourth quarter to victory. Again, your final score, 33-18. I want to start by talking about Stetson Bennett.
Okay.
Stetson Bennett had two previous games against Alabama, both of which resulted in, I think, three picks in 2020. He had two picks in the SEC title game. There is some debate, at least between the two of us, as to whether or not he had a good game in that SEC championship that we saw over a month ago, a little bit over a month ago. Right. But nonetheless, Stetson Bennett, I think we would both objectively agree, has gotten better in each of the matchups that we've seen now with him against Alabama. In this matchup, it wasn't as if he was lighting the world on fire, but Stetson Bennett made some really big plays. Stetson Bennett didn't
He closed.
He closed. Yeah. He didn't make the big mistake. He had the weird crossover dribble early.
Yeah, he did.
In the game, he went AI with it in the open field on the run. But, you know, early on for Georgia, that 14-yard run was the longest run that they had. You know, it was the biggest play that this offense was able to muster. And throughout the course of the game, I felt like he got better. I felt like he really settled in. He finished the game, his line, 17 of 26 for 224 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. So in the end, that looks pretty clean. There were moments where we wondered, but I think Stetson Bennett ultimately answered the call. He didn't need that 350-yard game that we discussed on our preview podcast. He just needed a clean game and a really good defensive effort. And thankfully for the Georgia Bulldogs, I think both came through in this instance.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't fully clean because that fumble was costly right until he closed super well, which didn't fully, I couldn't get a read whether it was a fumble or not, but we had the Alabama recovery at the sideline and they turned that pretty quickly into six. So not a perfectly clean sheet, but nonetheless, I guess it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And Stetson Bennett finished, I think it was like 4 of 4 for 80 some odd yards after that fumble.
It was
the play calling was kind of all over the place. At one point, I think Zamir White was averaging 7.5 yards per carry, and they weren't just handing the ball to him behind a pretty good offensive line that was, I don't know if they're gashing Alabama, that's probably too strong a term when Will Anderson is back there, but they're running the ball fine on Alabama, and they were just putting it in the air. They were trying to run horizontally, and they were kind of overthinking things for a long stretch in this game. And when they actually were able to run the ball, it opened up play action. Stetson Bennett took some shots. Some of them worked out. Some of them didn't. He had the incredible touchdown pass to, Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell. He had the huge fourth down conversion, little flip over the top to Brock Bowers for the touchdown in that huge spot as Georgia was trying to put the game away. And so, yeah, it's Stetson Bennett was, at the end of the day, fine. He wasn't incredible. He wasn't the reason they won, by and large. He wasn't the reason that they would have lost. He was fine. He was a bit... game manager might be looked at in sort of a derogatory term, but he made plays in the biggest, higher leverage moments and made winning plays for the winning team. So he was fine. And that's good enough when the other guy throws the interceptions, when Alabama was down the players that they were down and unable to keep drives going and unable to contain Georgia up front. So when you have the defense Georgia has, ultimately Stetson Bennett was good enough.
We mentioned the Jameson Williams thing. Jameson Williams had a 40-yard reception down the middle of the field. It stepped awkwardly and left the game. You know, it was a non-contact thing. He was wide open. Bryce Young made a pretty big play. And from that point forward, I'm not going to say that the complexion of the game changed, but it certainly led to a much different game plan for the Alabama offense. There's just no denying it that.
Of course.
Without him in the game, obviously they already had the injury to John Metchie. It changed things. And suddenly they're dealing with guys who have only had a handful of targets throughout the course of the year. So that made it difficult. I thought Alabama acquitted itself quite well, but you mentioned the interceptions. And we could talk about the interceptions because in a matchup where I think we had focused a lot on Stetson Bennett and him not, it just, you can't make the big interception. You can't make the big mistake. Bryce Young had two pretty big mistakes in this game.
I would say so. Yeah, and it's not even... I mean, look, the mistakes were killer as well, but it was how many teams were able to pressure Bryce Young to the point where he wasn't able to consistently make any plays. I mean, he made some plays, but like there was just this something in the air with this Georgia defense, which we've seen all season long, where it's just like, if you're not throwing the ball right away... they are chasing you down. I think it was the two-point conversion where Alabama lined up four dudes on the left. Nothing was there, and Bryce Young tried to scramble for the two-point conversion, and there were two dudes who had cut off his line, and it wasn't even a question of was he going to get to a corner. It was just not happening. I think it was a safety and a linebacker. Maybe I've got one of them was a linebacker, and it's just a different team. It's just a different level, and the waves that the Georgia front came at Bryce Young, especially without the guys that Bryce Young didn't have. What are you supposed to do? Bryce Young is the quarterback best built to make plays under that kind of duress and couldn't make those plays. Like, there is not a quarterback in the country who would be quicker on his feet and quicker with a release to just make a team pay on the run, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it on the Indianapolis turf. What does that say?
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think it speaks volumes about the Georgia defense that Bryce Young did not do anything.
No.
On the ground with his legs, right? He threw for 369. He had a touchdown. He played about as good a game as he could have, given the circumstances. But one of the X factors that we talked about a lot in the build-up to this football game was the fact that this is, even though it's not his game to go out there and run for a ton of yards, he is a guy who's very shifty. And he can shift within the pocket, and he can find ways to buy himself time, even against a really good defense like the Georgia Bulldogs. Bryce Young did not really beat them with his legs. Georgia did a good job keeping track of him and not allowing him to beat them, even though they gave up a fair amount of yards through the air.
Yeah, I was honestly like watching this game. So I'm looking at the scores here. So Alabama is down 13-12. They go up 18-13 on the shorter Latu touchdown, sort of not improvised, but a really nice little quick throw from Bryce Young to Latu, who's sort of squatting in the end zone. Georgia follows that up with their own touchdown. I think that was the longer pass, right, from Stetson Bennett to Adonai Mitchell. And then they force a Bama punt. And I thought that was just that. That was kind of everything, was it not? Like, that defensive drive, the fact that Georgia was able to, because the Alabama drive, they had the short field off of the fumble and they have the touchdown, and it just felt like Alabama was getting in a groove, right? That they were kind of figuring out what Georgia was trying to do on defense. They were, you know, taking what the defense gave to them, and they're like, okay, here, and we were watching this with Jeff at the time, where it's like, okay, Alabama's just getting comfortable, right? Georgia's on the field maybe a little bit too long, and this is where Alabama makes its own statement and has been waiting to, like, okay, here is Excelsior. That's the joke we like to make about, like, okay, here is our plan for this moment. And it just had that feel for it, for Alabama. Like, oh, there, Nick Saban's going to do it again. The way that he pulled out, like, that Auburn game, where you're just like, I don't know how they won that game, but, like, they found that window, they found that crease, and they walked away with the W. And that just, that had that feel in that gap there. And when Georgia came back and matched that score, that just sort of raised an eyebrow for me. Like, oh, okay. Stetson Bennett is not shrinking away from this moment. And takes like a bad sack and throws an incredible pass. Like, he just, he kept getting back up. He kept answering Alabama. And I don't know that I was fully expecting that. Like, I really did feel like there was something inevitable about Alabama once they sort of got that second half momentum. And good for Georgia. I mean, we're sticking with this Georgia offensive theme that there were some unexpectedly successful moments, but it was a full effort, and they stayed in it. Mentally, they stayed extremely strong, and you saw that at the end of the game, where they go up, was it 26-18, and then nail that interception, bring it all the way back. Like, there was just that energy that stayed within the Georgia team that, I don't know if it was Alabama shell-shocked over injury, I don't know what it was, that they weren't able to get things going on offense like they normally were, but man, just very cool to see that Georgia was able to just sort of lock in even when it seemed like they were taking a bit of a haymaker there.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
One of the things that I found very interesting, and maybe this is just me opening up personally, Dan, because we're all friends.
I'm ready. Here. Bring it.
Typically, when you've got a game at halftime where it's 9-6,
yeah,
my reaction is, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Big Ten West. Here we go again.
What a terrible football game. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like this was a very good football game the full way through. And we talked about it a little bit on our live stream. We had Jeff Schwartz on again. I'm not going to go through all the names that we had on, but it was a good cast of characters. And I think everybody felt very similarly. You know, it was a really good defensive football game. You didn't come away feeling that the offenses were inept. There was no frustration.
I did.
I didn't feel that way. I didn't come away feeling that the offenses were inept. That I felt like in the past, in 9-6 Alabama LSU, it was different to me in that respect. I felt like the defense has just played such a good hard-nosed game that I didn't really want to see either team lose. Obviously, somebody's got to win. But to me, I was sort of surprised by the fact that I was that latched into a game that was so low scoring and so defensive minded.
Yeah, I mean, look, Georgia opened the game. Three of their first four drives three of their first four drives, three plays for no yards, three plays for 1 yard, and then after going way down the field and kicking the field goal, which I wasn't a huge fan of, three plays for 2 yards. Three and outs. Like, they were trying to throw the ball. Like, there was something about Georgia's offense in the first half. I don't know if inept is the right word, but it was like, I don't know if this offense is ready for this moment. I don't know if Stetson Bennett is ready for this moment. I don't know what this Georgia offense would look like with a quarterback 25% physically better and ready to dominate this game, because you knew the windows were going to be tight against Alabama, both in terms of timing with Will Anderson being fully unblockable against this Georgia team. Even in the best of times for this Georgia offense, Will Anderson was fully unblockable. And so I kind of did get that sense. I know that we can agree that it was a good game going into halftime,
yeah,
just because we didn't have an idea. We didn't have a concept of the rhythms of the second half. But also, like, this, let's not pretend like it was the most entertaining first half in terms of, like, slugging back and forth and, like, oh, man, George Pickens for 30, Brock Bowers for 27, Jermaine Burton for 44. Like, that wasn't really, like, I don't know. Like, I see what you're saying, and I agree that it was a good game, but there was some, like, oh, man, I don't know how many more of these drives I can watch.
Well, there were 9 punts, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't as if it was some sort of offensive explosion. It wasn't.
Right.
These are two offenses that at varying points throughout the game picked their spots,
mm-hmm,
and were able to take advantage of field position or mistakes or what have you and convert those into points. Now, Georgia ultimately was able to get out ahead because of some of those mistakes, but 33-18 is your final score. There were plenty of moments in this game where we were talking on our stream, like, geez, we can very easily see a scenario in which this thing goes to overtime. It goes to penalty,
sure,
kicks, right? Like, it was such a defensive-minded game that it wouldn't have surprised anyone if it ended up tied and we ended up going into overtime with this thing. So I give Stetson Bennett a lot of credit. I give him credit for, had the mistake. I suppose that could have happened to anybody. With the way, you know, they ruled out a fumble and suddenly Alabama's within striking distance.
16 yard line, I want to say.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
that's
just a tough,
yeah,
break, right? You know, that could go sort of either way. But I give Stetson Bennett and the Georgia offense credit for finding a way where for a large chunk of that game, it didn't feel like they really had a cohesive offensive strategy. Like, they tried trick plays. The trick plays went for intentional groundings.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't as if the game plan worked. I think it was really just the offense finding its spots after the defense was just dominant, right? The defense came to play here for the Georgia Bulldogs in the way it had all season.
I would go as far as saying that if you were to look at this game and say there were breaks in this game, like, who got what break? And not all of this is luck, but, like, the two, like, was it or was it not a fumble? They both go to Alabama. Georgia has the fumble late in the game. Alabama has the later picks. But, like, who is the, like, Georgia was able to absorb so much more in a way that, like, I think they were the more penalized team, right? They had 10 penalties that went,
yeah,
for how many yards? Whatever it was, 70-some-odd yards, probably something like that. Like, Alabama had 7. Like, Georgia had to withstand an offensive coordinator that was sort of not making sense, as you were alluding to, right? Like, there were things lining up. Stetson Bennett, as you also mentioned, had a crossover dribble. He had this amazing run on second and long or something like that.
He went full Allen Iverson on that, man.
So just, like, think about the things that Georgia had to overcome, both of its own doing and of just, like, could potentially go either way, bang bang calls, right? The intentional grounding or the fumbles or the lack thereof, whatever. Like, it was just like, if you're a Georgia fan watching this game, you had to be saying to yourself, can we just not get one thing to go our way? Can we just not have a false start in a key moment once? Like, they are able to do that. I mean, that's just, I think it speaks largely to the defense, that they're just so dominant and so able to control the game that ultimately being able to absorb those things is just kind of second nature. And so
yeah,
it is it's like, if I don't know what like the second order win is for this game, like how many times out of 100 does Alabama win this game with these stats and this number of penalties, whatever. But like, I would imagine Georgia fans were probably more upset watching this game until the end than maybe Alabama fans. So kind of an incredible thing to watch, because I had no idea, you know, 18-13, 19-18, I had no idea. I was like, oh, clearly this is the team who's going to win this game, because it just seemed like anytime one team had something, oh, false start, oh, intentional grounding, oh, pass interference, right. Like sack in a huge spot. Like there was no rhythm at any point until that fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's the hallmark of a great game, but man, if I were a fan of one of these teams, it would just not have been fun.
Well, it was a tough one either way. You know, the Georgia Bulldogs obviously end up pulling through in the end here, 15-point win, but there were plenty of moments where if Alabama had found that spark.
Sure. If it was Hall, if it was Ja'Cory Brooks, if that was the receiver, and we were talking about this during the game, that like in that, you know, the Tua second and 26 game, it was like all these young dudes who were not household names stepping up. They had all these reps with Tua. They were comfortable with him. And Devontae Smith ultimately makes that play. Would it be one of those guys to be this year's version? And it's on the table. It was definitely on the table. And by the way, should be said, and this is all due respect to Georgia, who it's an incredible story, an incredible defense, incredible coaching staff, players, the narrative, Stetson Bennett, all of it is terrific. How close was the worst Nick Saban Alabama team of the past few years to winning a national championship against an all-time defense? That's wild. That is just, it's something that'll get lost in everything, but like, just a low point, that's all relative, a low point for Alabama almost just won the national championship.
Yeah.
On the offensive line and the defensive backfield at times, and there were just brutal moments and the penalties. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. What a wild sport. What a wild game.
Wild game. Absolutely. So just to run through a couple of the key stats in this game to...
I'm ready.
...fully close the loop. I mentioned Stetson Bennett earlier, 224, two touchdowns. I mentioned Bryce Young, 369, one touchdown, two picks. On the ground, Brian Robinson, 22 for 68, his long was 16, so mostly held in check by this very good Georgia defense. Zamir White, we were on the stream, by the way, with our friend Jeff Schwartz, who you do big boy bets with.
Yep.
He had Zamir White at 9-1 to score the first touchdown in this game.
He did.
That didn't come until very late
In
the football game, but the first touchdown did go to Zamir White, who had 13 carries for 84 yards and that one touchdown. James Cook, who we had called out in our preview episode, 6 carries for 77 yards, although 67 of those came on one carry.
In the long run,
Georgia did a pretty good job of dispersing the football to a variety of receivers, right?
Dispersing the football? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 9 different receivers. George Pickens had the long of 52, but by and large, it was a bunch of guys who caught a handful of passes. Brock Bowers, the main target, just 36 yards, but had the touchdown late in the football game. My boy Cameron Latu led Alabama in receiving after Jameson Williams went down 5 catches.
You pushed that over.
Yeah, I would have hit the over. I couldn't bet it again because of the rules here in PA. But it bothers me because not only did he hit the over, but he also scored a touchdown.
Yes.
5 for 102 and a touchdown. Jameson Williams, 65 yards before he went down.
Yeah, largely on that injury play. Something that bears repeating is, I mean, as you go through the stats, the star power receiver, right? It just, in previous years, what, the LSU guys, the Bama guys, the Clemson guys, Justin Ross, T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers, going back, you know, Jordan Leggett, like all these guys that were just like, oh man, wham, 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 haymaker after haymaker to these like 6'3" monsters. That wasn't the tenor. That wasn't the rhythm of tonight's game at all. And I think it'll get back to that in the coming years when you look at the teams who should continue to compete for this trophy. But a different kind of game. Brock Bowers and Cameron Latu and Slade Bolden and I don't know how you pronounce his first name, Hall for Alabama. that it was just it was not on the arms, was not on the shoulders of the playmakers out wide in the way that we've gotten used to these past few years, where it's just like, I mean, that's what we call them, winter wonders, that these are the guys that win you the games in January, that can weather incredible NFL defensive backs and pass rushes, that, like, man, they just, like, you don't get guys like this everywhere else in the sport.
No, they
concentrate on these three or four teams and end up playing in January. And this has been the showcase game for those guys and just wasn't tonight. And that's okay. Still got a great game out of it, but different.
If we zoom out, Dan.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What does this win for Georgia mean when we wake up tomorrow morning?
It's the culmination. It's the culmination of, you know, Kirby Smart comes in, I think, what, 2016, he overhauls the Georgia program and turns them into a recruiting powerhouse. I don't know if it means that he's fully solved quarterback, where he's had issues. You go back to Eason and Fromm and the Justin Fields situation, JT Daniels, an injury. Like, they've got quarterback, or they have a quarterback, or quarterback's the future. But, damn, it's just like the student becomes the master, and it's not as if Georgia came out of nowhere. This has been building, and they've had the talent level to beat basically everybody, but couldn't ultimately get over the top. And it's a confirmation of everything that Kirby Smart has done in terms of hiring guys, recruiting, the waves, the way that they've played. There's work to be done, because we saw that with Alabama specifically, it took them really, you know, what is hiring Lane Kiffin and saying, like, this is what you guys need to do to modernize your offense and really weaponize. That's the next step, I think, for Georgia, to get that quarterback, whoever that is. And all due respect to Stetson Bennett, it's probably not him. So whoever that quarterback is and whatever that offense is, that's the next step to build the Georgia Death Star. But no, it's a confirmation of everything that Georgia's done, because they won this game in an especially Georgia way.
Yeah. They sort of out-Alabama'd.
Old Alabama'd. Yeah.
In many respects. And I think it's really meaningful from a fan standpoint to just see somebody else win.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia fans, like, how close have they gotten? They've flown pretty close to the sun and hasn't been to be. That's not English.
But so much of the sport right now is dictated by the fact that fans are sick of seeing the same teams in there. Now, I get that Georgia's not exactly
that team.
Excluded.
They're sick of Ty. Yeah.
From that conversation. But Georgia hasn't won since 1980.
Yeah.
And so to have a new champion,
sure,
that's meaningful. That's meaningful in college football. It will certainly ratchet up the pressure elsewhere in the SEC, especially in the SEC East, as there's been so much turmoil now on that side of the conference. But to finally get over the hump, if you're Kirby Smart, if you're Georgia, and beat Nick Saban, that's very meaningful. And I think from that standpoint, you know, I didn't pick Alabama to win this game, regardless of whether I picked Georgia or not to win in the beginning of the season. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? I just think it's a really cool moment for Georgia Bulldogs fans, because
sure,
finally, they get over this hump. They're able to knock off Nick Saban. They're able to get to the promised land in a really good game. A really good game. Like, the full way through, it was very much dictated by defense. And in the end, they were able to break it open. But I'm very pumped for this fan base that they get to share this moment.
Yeah, it's great for Georgia fans. I don't know how great it is for the sport. I mean, it just reinforces everything that has sort of happened in terms of concentration of talent at places like Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State. And you know, obviously you have, little old LSU, who's pouring $500 trillion into their program as well. Like, it's big picture, just another one of the juggernauts of the sport winning the biggest trophy in the sport. But it's not Nick Saban. It's not Alabama. It's new, but it's only kind of new to me. So it's cool for Georgia fans, but I don't think that it changes the, like, this wasn't TCU Louisville in the national championship.
Correct.
That's
very correct.
Yeah, it reinforces a lot of what is, to me, kind of an unsolvable issue at the top of the sport. But that's okay, because we got a good football game, and taken in isolation, I'm pro good football games.
Yeah,
And I think that was really our perspective coming into this game.
Yeah.
We both took opposite sides of the coin here. You were on Georgia because you're a hopeless romantic, as I said before.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. The little guy in the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah.
The true David in this matchup. I was on Alabama. I lost some money on Alabama tonight. I'm not going
to
lie.
Sorry to hear it.
I lost some money. But, you know, in the end, I think we just wanted a good game. And we got that. We very much got that. For the vast majority of this game, it was very close. It was very defensive-minded. And in the end, like we've been saying time and again here, it's just a few key moments that ultimately swing things one direction or the other.
It was a good TV show, Ty. It was a good TV show. I watched it with you. I watched it with Jeff Schwartz. I watched it with Adam Amin. I watched it with everybody who watched along with us. It's good TV.
Absolutely was. So here's the deal, folks.
Yeah.
Please do write in solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. We will have video of bits and pieces of this episode posted out in the YouTube channel. Please do comment there if you've got anything further to add. If you'd really like to go whole hog, go on into verballers.com. Check that out. We've got new updated Patreon tiers that are available to you in the offseason. We're going to continue doing what we always do in the offseason, recording, posting twice a week, more than just twice a week for our Patreon subscribers, again, at verballers.com. But we would encourage you to go on out there, keep interacting with the show if you like what we do. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your feedback. It's been a great season. It's been a great season by any standard. So much parody, so much just zaniness that we don't typically get to see. I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know what the hell it's because of. But we had a great year this year and just a ton of fun to do this thing that we love to do. So we'd encourage you all, please do subscribe to the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to Patreon and forballers.com if you don't already. But I am just, honestly, this is a weird way to say it, tickled pink.
Uh-oh.
We have got to this stage in the season where not only is it over and it's good to have that breath of fresh air, but I'm just glad that we ended out on a pretty high note. Like, this is a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah, and I got to make pizza.
Yeah, you showed pictures on the stream, which it looked amazing.
It's a real good pie. It's a real good pie. You'll try it someday, Ty. Valley Circle Pizza. Not coming to a neighborhood near you.
No.
But you'll get some, yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, I think that's probably all the wisdom we can impart this evening. It is now 1:08 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com is always the email, as I said earlier. Don't forget to go on out to the website, solidverbal.com, subscribe, follow, like, share, all the usual stuff. We do appreciate your support throughout the course of the season, throughout the course of this episode and this playoff. It has been such a good year, Dan. I think I'm out of words. I think I'm out of voice for this evening.
Go Dogs. Roll Tide. Fun night.
Congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. First championship since 1980. A 33-18 victory over the Alabama Crimson Tide. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for downloading, listening, and supporting us through this 2021-22 season. We'll be back on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.